Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Whatever it is that you did in the year 2016, I want to challenge you this morning. I'm going to do my best to preach a portion of 2 Kings in chapter 2 in its complete context. But I want to challenge you this morning to ask God for twice as much as you did in the year 2016. If you teach a Sunday school class, ask God that he would double that class. If you've won souls to Christ, and I pray you have, ask God for twice as many souls. Whatever it is you've done, whatever it is you do for God, may you do twice as much. May you have enough faith, like Elijah of old, to accomplish twice as much in the year 2017 as you did in 2016. I pray you get a little bit of vision concerning that as we work through this. Now, Elijah was a prophet of God in the northern kingdom, greatly used of God in his generation, great hero of the faith. He actually led the school of the prophets. He was bold. He was courageous. And listen to this. He never died. Like Enoch of old, he was caught up in a chariot of fire and horses of fire and never really experienced death. And after him was his protege. After him was the one that he mentored, a prophet named Elijah. Elijah himself actually counseled three different kings. We have holy record of him performing twice as many miracles. Elijah was actually very political. He stood up and told the northern kingdom what they needed to do and what they needed to know in spite of politics, in spite of all that was going on. And not a single failing of Elijah is recorded in the Word of God. That's interesting. Now we know he was a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But what a great picture for you and I to attain to. We need to do all we can for God. Man, I don't know what you did last. Before I get real biblical here, the premise is this. Whatever it is you've done, ask God for the strength, the discernment, yes, the Spirit of God, to do twice as much as you did last year. Saturday, the new window cling came in. I think it maybe came in Friday. I found out Saturday, and I started to put it up, and we didn't have quite enough. So hence, the bottom four panels are colored, and the top one isn't. And you can't really tell because it's a cloudy day, but if it was a sunshiny day, that top was brighter than anything you saw there last week or the week before because there's nothing on it right now. Well, things weren't going exactly real good as far as putting that window cling up. I was doing it by myself, and I had to maintain my temper because Ray was out here working in the auditorium. It was difficult, and I'm sweating, and I was sweating. Things were going on. It was hot up there, and I finally said, okay, I could. In the old days, I said, Ray, your pastor is maturing. In the old days, I would have taken the two small pieces that were left, and I'd have tried to piece together that top up there, and when I got done, it would not have looked good, and I'd have been more angry than what I am right now. But instead, I'm going to take a few deep breaths, and I'm going to fold everything up, and we're going to order some new ones for the new piece for the top, and we're going to get it all done right. Aren't you glad your pastor is maturing? My dad taught me young in life. He taught me if you can't fix it with a hammer, you've got an electrical problem. And that's the kind of carpenter I am. A lot of you can relate to that. I know you can. Doesn't matter if it's a mechanical thing, if it's a carpentry thing. If you can't fix it with a hammer, got an electrical problem. Just let it go, all right? Let's go to 2 Kings now. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal." Now, there are four cities here mentioned. I want to allude to that here in just a moment. Now, and understand, I'm not going to have time to exegete each of these verses as we work through this. But you're on a pilgrimage. You are on a journey. And the destination is very important. And it's important that you enjoy the journey while you're on it, and you're serving God while you're on this pilgrimage. It isn't like just existing. There is a purpose to your life. There is a purpose to my life. It's more than just getting born again. It says in verse 1 that Elijah, went with Elijah from Gilgal. Now, Gilgal is the place of beginnings. That's where the first Passover was celebrated. It's salvation. Your life's got to get started. Well, get started the moment you get born again into the family of God. That's when you begin to live forever. That's a wonderful truth. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you say, well, I think I'm a child of God. Let me reword that. If you're here today and you don't know, you've not received Christ, you don't know that all your sins are forgiven, you don't know that you've got a home in heaven, you got to get born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, ye must be born again. There is no other way to heaven. It's only Christ. It's only Jesus. So if you're here in the auditorium or listening to a radio broadcast and you've never trusted Christ for salvation, really, it's really quite simple. It's real easy. Jesus Christ did all the work. He's the only Savior that's ever visited this world. He is the second person of the Godhead. And he went to Golgotha's mountain. He went to Calvary. And allowed men to nail him to a cross. And there he shed his blood, as was prophesied in the Old Testament, and made atonement for our sins. The blood atonement. And then he dismissed his spirit. And then on the third day, he conquered the grave. He ascended on up into heaven. He is the living Savior. He paid the price for our sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You haven't even begun to live if you have not come to the place in your life when you have been born again. Listen very carefully. You don't grow into that. There is a moment you're birthed into the family of God. You may grow, you may learn some knowledge and learn some things along the way, but there's a moment you breathe your first breath as a child of God where you're born, and we need to be born again. That's what Jesus said. And at that moment, you begin your life, your eternal life. At that moment, you begin to live forever. Maybe it happened in your backyard. Maybe it happened in a locker room. Maybe it happened at a funeral home. Maybe it happened in your driveway. Maybe at your workplace. Maybe in your automobile. Maybe on your knees beside your bed. Maybe in a church service at an altar just like this. Well, you prayed and you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You invited him into your heart. You surrendered. You invited him into your life. And you were born into the family of God. In that moment, your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now hear this. If you don't hear anything else, God wants to save you. God wants you in his heaven one day. That's why Jesus came. You can't earn it. You can't work your way there. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. Jesus is the only Savior. And if you don't know for sure you're born again, in a few moments' time, when we have this altar call, I want to invite you to the Savior. You can be saved this very day. Gilgal, that's the place of beginnings. You're on a pilgrimage. You're on a journey. Verse 2, and Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Bethel, place of dreams, place of vision. After you get born again, you start to serve God, and you start to understand God can use me because he uses everybody, and God uses nobodies. And I qualify there, and God can use me. So you start to understand what God can do in your life. And I want to encourage you this morning. We'll come back to this at the end of the message. Get a vision. Understand what God wants you to do. And then get at the pilgrimage. Get at the journey. Start serving God right where you are. And you need to understand this as well. Elijah was not attempting to hinder Elijah from obtaining that double portion of power. He was testing him. That's why he says here in verse 2, he said, you stay here. Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel, and Elijah says, oh no, I'm staying close. I'm telling you, get close to Jesus. Get close to the God-given authorities in your life. Get as faithful as you can be to God. Ask God to use you. Elijah was a man, a young man, hungry for all that God was willing to give him. Elijah was a young man after Elijah who was prepared for the very next generation. And he was hungry to know all and be used of God in every place that God wanted to use him. We need people like that. We need men and women like that in this present generation and in this present culture in which we live. It can't be all about Elijah. Elijah is going to be gone from the scene. Someone else has to step up and fill in the gap. I met with some of the college age and career age young people at my house on Thursday. And if you didn't get invited, I'm sorry, I didn't. I actually meant to just invite a couple, and then it kind of carried over. And then I realized, man, there were like 10 people there, 12 people there. And I realized there's all kinds of people not there. And I hope somebody here isn't offended because you didn't get invited, because that's not really what it was about. And I was just going to have a little fellowship and help them catch a little vision. And I believe they did. Make sure we're all on the same page. Somebody has got to be ready for this next generation. It's got to happen. They went from Gilgal. And from Gilgal, they went to Bethel, where they got vision. Verse 3 says, "And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? There will always be those with no vision. There will always be those with no discernment. Don't understand right and wrong. That's why we're referred to as sheep. Even in the great family of the people that come to Fundamental Baptist Church, there are people with absolutely no discernment. They just walk around saying, I love Jesus. And they're suckers for everything. And what you got to do is you got to get in the book. You got to get in the Word of God and know what the Word of God teaches. So the sons of the prophets are saying, you know, Elijah is going to be taken. You know, you're hanging out with him. He's going to be gone before too long. And he says, yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. Elisha says, I'll paraphrase, no way, buddy. You're the man of God. I'm interested in what you got. I love the Lord that you love. I'm with you. You can't get rid of me. And again, Elijah wasn't trying to hinder him. It was a test. How many of us hear somebody say a discouraging word and we quit? We agree with them. Yeah, and pretty soon we're convinced. Well, that's all the time. Somebody has got to be like Elijah. I mean, know what the Bible says. Man, people just don't love God like they used to. You know, you're right. So you step back and do nothing. What in the world? I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you in every way this morning. I want God, the Holy Spirit, to grip your heart in an area where you can be more faithful than what you have been and do twice as much for God. Well, again, we'll get to that in just a quick moment. Verse 4 says, and Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Jericho is the place of ministry. It's the place of victories. It's the place where God, a place of battles. That is the actual ministry. That's what I want to challenge you about. If you are in your Jericho today, serve God. If you're starting to lose some of the vision, some of the burden you had, then you need to look back over here and get that vision at Bethel. Understand what God wants you to do. Know what the Bible says and get back on the journey to Jericho and get in the battle. It is a two-fisted battle today. It isn't for sissies. It's subtle. There are people listening to all kinds of false messages and half-truths and getting off the straight and narrow, and people, because of it, aren't being saved. People aren't saved the way they used to be saved in the good old days. You know, you're right. That's right. I guess we're just kind of hold the fort. No. God is still the same. The gospel is still the same. We have the same Holy Spirit. The Church of Jesus Christ is still ordained of God. There are still thousands to reach for the cause of Christ. We got to get at it. 38,696 people last count in Chippewa County. 14,144 in Sault Ste. Marie. 24,552 in the rural areas. We got to win them. We got to tell them about Jesus. Get back at Jericho. Get in the ministry again. The sons of the prophets, verse 5, that were at Jericho came to Elijah and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, Lord, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And he answered and said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Here's a man with great resolve. The sons of the prophets are saying, Elijah, what are you doing? The old guy's going to be gone. He's on his deathbed. Man, it's almost over. What are you spending your time with him for? There's a new day. There's a new day. Even Elijah himself is saying to Elijah, I'm going out Jericho now. You stay right here. And he kind of watched. And Elijah's answer is, no way. I'm staying true. I want a double portion. Let's read on here. Verse 6 again says, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And that's the place of death, the place of graduation. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. It's the selfless life, Jordan. It's dying to self and living for God. It's a picture of the end of the pilgrimage, crossing over the River Jordan. How many gospel songs have been written with that as its premise? It's a whole life. There's a whole pilgrimage. There's a whole journey that you and I are supposed to live. Verse 9, and it came to pass. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to skip too much here. Verse 8 says, and Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters. This is Jordan. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Here, picture it now. They come to the River Jordan. Elijah already tells Elijah, you stay here. Elijah says, no way, I'm with you. I'm with God. I want what you've got. I want twice as much of it. They come to the River Jordan, and Elijah takes off his mantle, and he takes it, and he wraps it up, and he smites the waters. He hits the waters, and the waters part. And both of them walk over on dry ground. A miracle. Another miracle. And Elijah's part of it, and Elijah gets to witness it. Verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Psalm 2 was read this morning. Ask, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Vision. What can happen in the eastern end of the Upper Peninsula? Remember that statewide revival we're praying for? What can happen in the whole state if we really sell out to God? Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He said, Elijah, everything you have, I want the same. Times two. And Elijah says to Elijah, you've asked for a hard thing. In other words, that is not in my power to give. Verse 10, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken, you stay close to God. When I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Only God. And Elijah was right to stay close. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. That's a sign of anguish, all right? He rent them in two pieces and he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. The sons of the prophets are watching from afar, from a distance. They didn't have enough faith to follow Elijah, but Elijah did. Those are preacher boys in training, prophets in training, religious people, but they didn't have that kind of faith, not the kind of faith that Elijah had. When Elijah left, his mantle fell to the ground. As his mantle fell to the ground, and they were all in, you know, just aghast. They couldn't believe it. And you heard what Elijah said, my, oh my. And he looks over and he sees the mantle has fallen. He goes over and he picks the mantle up. He looks at it and he walks over to the River Jordan, the waters that were just parted. And he cries out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he strikes the waters with Elijah's mantle. And the waters parted. Elijah's mantle becomes Elijah's mantle. He performs on holy writ, on record, in the Bible, twice as many miracles as Elijah. Obstacles every step of the way, but they're nothing more than opportunities with work clothes on. Hey, we think it's all supposed to come easy. Never a battle. And here's the deal. Here's the devil's dirty little secret. When you're all armored up, you're pretty safe. You'll go to battle and you're going to win. And the devil knows that you'll win in that situation. You're ready to go. Get great victories. But then the devil will come with a spiritual battle when you're not prepared. When you've taken your armor off, mistake, but you've taken it up. You let your hair down. Not much danger of that in my life anymore. But, you know, you just kind of relax and let your hair down. Oh, it's tired, man. It's 11 o'clock. Oh, my goodness. It's been a long day. I can hardly keep my eyes open. And that's when the devil comes. You know, there's a battle going on. There is a battle going on. 35 years we've been here at Fundamental Baptist Church. 35 years is a long time. I've been trying to recollect and reminisce since mid-December. And try to remember faces, and I can't remember everybody. Faces and names of people that have gotten saved, and gotten baptized, and were serving God, and were vital parts of Fundamental Baptist Church. And you know, so many have fallen by the wayside. I don't even remember. On many occasions, people will come up to me and say, "Oh, Pastor Rader, how you doing? Do I know you? Oh, yeah, you baptized me. Remember, I used to come to you." And it's gone. I'm telling you, so many people have fallen by the wayside. Don't let that discourage you. It has always been that way. Even in the 12 that Jesus picked, one fell away. You understand, it has always, always been that way. And just because a brother or a sister fall away from God, don't let that shake your faith. Then that's not where it's at. You keep your eyes on Jesus. This prophet Elijah had great resolve. He asked a hard thing. It was a great request. Go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. Would you do that? 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. There is a church in the Upper Peninsula that has made great strides and is poised. It's positioned by God to fight back the darkness. And it's Fundamental Baptist Church. We've got a great foundation in Jesus Christ. We obey the Bible. We follow the Bible. Now, people fall away, but as far as the church, this is where we are. We love the book. We love our Savior. Hardly a week goes by when someone doesn't get born again. A visitor doesn't come, or someone saved in youth group, or someone saved in King's Kids, or one of our ministries. I mean, it's going on all of the time. We're going to be baptizing tonight. You know, it's a wonderful truth. And understand this. This generation is our generation. We are responsible for the right now. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9 and verse 17, for if I do this thing willingly, he's talking about preaching the gospel, Paul, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now here's what Paul's saying. There is a dispensation of time in the 6,000 years of the earth, all right? There is a dispensation of time that you are responsible for as a child of God. You got saved, you got born again, you got a Bible in your hands? You're supposed to know that Bible? No excuses. You're supposed to know that Bible? You're responsible for a specific time, a specific generation here in the world. Right now, we're all together here at Fundamental Baptist Church, pretty good crowd, and it's the year 2017, right at the beginning. This is our time. This is the time ordained of God for you and for me to serve God. Not to get rich, but to serve God. This is the time ordained of God for Fundamental Baptist Church to fight back the darkness for the glory of God, to be a bright gospel light, to be a soul-saving station, because nobody else is doing it, not the way they ought, and we're not doing it the way we ought. But we know the power of God. We know the full blessing of God. We are people, we are responsible with the truth. In our earthen vessels, we have heavenly treasure. One day you stand before God as well as this preacher. What are you doing with your life for the cause of Christ? Man, I want to challenge you. There's no such thing as retirement in the family of God. We need all you retired people. There's a few of you here. We need you. There's nobody unimportant in the family of God. Get off of the welfare mentality spiritually. You're supposed to be in the harness. You're supposed to be fighting with both fists. You're supposed to be making a difference and winning souls to Jesus. Elijah's response, he watched Elijah's miracle. He wore Elijah's mantle. And he walked with Elijah's master. God has blessed us as a church. You got my Christmas letter. Allow me to go a little bit overtime. Just give me a couple more minutes. I'm surely not going to get everything, and I'm not going to even see all my notes here before me. That happens as you get older. The notes don't really do you a lot of good. So it really doesn't matter what I got written there. In some places, it's written so small, it matters not. But, boy, we were blessed of God this last year. Married some people, buried some people. Life gets tougher sometimes, but more exciting, and heaven has gotten sweeter. New faces, new families, in the church family, in the family of God, all being helped on the journey. We had mission meetings, greatly blessed of God. Revival meetings, greatly blessed of God. Old school gathering, greatly blessed of God. Graduations, greatly blessed of God. Some wins, some losses, and we continue to see the cause of Christ advance. Physically, new van, new electronic sign, another radio station, a couple more missionaries. We renovated the grade school. A lot of the foyer, the airlock, the kitchen, all repainted and renovated. Some not quite done yet. Big camp additions. New roof on the dining hall all the way over. And man, God just greatly blessed there. Finishing the third floor in the mission building. Sealed and restriped the parking lot. That's not a small thing. It's $5,000. It's over $5,000. You know, God just keeps blessing us. We keep doing more, seeing more. The more you do, the more God gives. That's how it works in the family of God. Now, 2016 is done. And I want to shake you. We didn't do enough. Souls slipped through our fingers. Divine appointments were not kept. People from Chippewa County died and went to hell. We really didn't do enough. I believe that if you would ask God, He'd give you a double portion. If you're a Sunday school teacher, ask God to double your class and then get out to work. Live in Jericho. If you're someone that teaches school, cleans the building, does building and renovation, someone that works the camp, someone that works King's Kids, works on a bus or a van, ask God to double. Ask God to do twice as much. You understand what Elijah was asking for? He was asking for twice of the Spirit of God. He wanted it. He wanted everything Elijah had, only one. He wanted double, times two. I ran the first 200 as fast as I could. And with God's help, I ran the second 200 even faster. It's the year 2017. Say, preacher, I'm tired. With God's help, you can run it even faster. You can do even more. Get a vision. We started early morning services in the non-snow months here at Fundamental Baptist Church. We had some really good early morning services, some really good crowds, and some crowds where it was pretty thin. But we started it. We got it going. We got to fill up this auditorium twice. Let it be shown in the summertime. Between now and next summer, when the snow finally leaves, we got to grow the family of God. Let's not stumble through the winter of 2017. Let's just not kind of sleep our way through. Get in the harness. Do something for God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.